Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together. All right, friends, I am so excited to be sitting here today with one of my kind of a personal hero, but I didn't actually get to meet her until this past spring when we were at the same conference and we got to say hi in the airport and I got to put a face to the name. Julie Cole is who I am sitting with today. Please introduce yourself and who you are kind of the face of.
Oh, it's so good to be here. And that was kind of crazy how we just met in the airport after.
I know.
So funny. In real life meetings, the best. So my name is Julie Cole. I'm the co-founder of Mabel's Labels. I'm a parenting blogger and a mom of six.
I know. When you say my sister's a mom of six, but like,
is she?
She's a mom of six, but like at home with these children as a mom of six. And it always makes me angry because I go to her house and I'm like, it's clean. How is it clean? I don't understand. I have three kids and I'm barely surviving.
Wow, mine's not. No. I assure you.
Okay.
Your sister sounds like I need to go meet her.
She's a unicorn. She also has she's implemented weird little systems in her house, like her kids actually change in the laundry room. So she has this built-in mudroom laundry room.
Oh my gosh. I have always planned that. I've always said I need change rooms in my laundry room so that I don't have to bring clothes up to the bedrooms and it makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense. Yeah. So she gets them to literally take their clothes off, put them into the washer dryer, mm-hmm. and then they have new stacks. Each kid has a cube.
It's brilliant.
It's so much going on.
It's brilliant.
Now here's the thing. She has five boys and now finally had a girl. So
wow.
I don't know if that'll just be the boys' space because I'm everything's organized just by sizes and
her
stuff.
Her sixth was a girl?
Oh, yes.
That's so unusual.
It was very unusual.
Yeah.
It was very dramatic, the entire pregnancy to birth. So I was honestly, still none of us really thought that it might be a girl. But when she was born, it was an emergency C-section after five vaginal deliveries.
Oh.
Emergency C-section. That baby was she had really, really high odds of not even making it. And the fact that she was out and a girl and we're just you know what? Was a little dramatic. Can you chill now?
Can we just have this girl now and enjoy? That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
What a story. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. So you have six kids. How old are they now?
So it's getting easy. They're older.
I love telling people that it's getting, I just
it
jumped
really
on the couch
is.
A little bit. Cause I'm it's so true. You meet
it
people
is.
With toddlers and you're you're in the weeds. It gets better.
I'm telling you, people say bigger kids, bigger problems. I call baloney on that. Baloney. Because, I sleep. They don't run on roads. They're not idiots.
I don't know about that much.
Well, they're sometimes idiots. But, I don't know. So my guys, the youngest is 10. The youngest is 10. And then I've got a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old, 18, and 19.
Oh my gosh.
So that means we're going into grades 5, grade 7, 8, grade 12, and then first year university and second year university. So I also have two this year who will be living away from home.
Oh my gosh, you're almost an empty. You still have more children than I do.
You know what's ridiculous? And it's so all relative. I have three away at camp right now, at sleepaway camp. And because I only have three kids, I'm I don't need to make dinner. I don't have any laundry. I don't have... like the 14-year-old's in charge of dinner because I'm like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. There's
only That's three actually, of them. It's so
a
funny.
Whole new world. Yeah. It really is. The sleep one is a big part of it though. Yep. Cause like we have this kitten and she woke me up in the middle of the night at like 3 a.m. And I turned to my husband and I said, what fresh hell is this?
Right?
Like this was my life for, I was stay at home mom for 10 years. Yeah. So like that used to be my life.
And your kids were close in age. So you would have been feeding, just had another baby up just had another baby up feeding.
I literally remember eating cans of Pringles for my own lunch. Right. Like it was eating the leftovers of the kids' foods. Yeah. It was putting up your hair, like my hair was wet and in a bun like 90% of the time. Crazy. Like total crazy, total in the weeds, completely different life now.
Oh man, I tell you, I remember when I had the three of them, and so they were, one was maybe almost three, one was 19 months and one was a newborn, and there's a picture of me pushing a triple stroller, and you know, I need highlights in my hair, my shirt is dirty, and my toddler's in this makeshift like chair, like it was a plastic chair that I turned my double stroller into a triple, and she's got a cast on her arm. Like we look so bad. Like, oh my somebody God. Should have reported me.
That should be a meme.
It really was so bad. God. And my kid, my oldest kid, had just had a fresh new autism diagnosis. I was not sleeping. It was a total gong show, and I was the ringmaster.
You were the ringmaster. So, in what point of this? Now, just getting into, in case you don't know what Mabel's Labels is, I was just saying to you when I walked in, I feel like it's one of those products that actually has. This is going to be like such a placement ad for you, like for sure, because 13 years ago my daughter was born, this became a necessity in my life. I remember I remember asking for it at Christmas time. I remember it being a part of our life. There are not many products on the market that have stayed for that for 13 years.
Yeah.
That have like how, well, I don't know if it was actually when she was 13. It was sometime when she was a baby that I remember us. I remember using the shoe labels on the bottom of her sippy cups because I loved that they stayed on. Like I even hacked them. When did this all start for you?
So it started really about, I'm going to say, I think we're 16 years, 17 years old. And it came about for a couple of reasons. I started with three other women and we all had different careers. I'm actually a recovered lawyer. And
hold on.
I'm in recovery. It's a good place. Oh, it's actual 12-step program.
Oh my gosh.
So what had happened was I had these three little kids at the time. My eldest son had been diagnosed with autism, as I mentioned. So at that point, I didn't think the traditional workforce was going to suit me anymore. Mm-hmm. And we had had this great idea for a product because me and these gals, and actually it's my sister-in-law, and I have this young uncle who married a friend of mine, so now she's my aunt. So the four of us, we all met at the University of Waterloo.
Oh.
And yeah, so we were all friends, and then they, you know, married my relatives and whatever. And so we had this great idea because we had little kids at the time, and we were like using, you know, permanent marker and masking tape. We're like, this doesn't work and it looks gross and we can do better. And there was nothing out there. So we're like, you know, we're good entrepreneurial mamas. We'll just make our own. So we got to work doing the research on a material that would go through the dishwasher microwave, that would go through the washer and dryer. So yeah, it was twofold really. The product missing from a market and then my son's autism diagnosis was probably a real catalyst where I'm like, okay, girls, now's our time. Let's launch this thing.
Now, how did you find with your son's diagnosis of autism, that changed your career path, but how were you able to navigate the demands of a new business while also navigating the demands of a new diagnosis?
Right.
It's almost like
question.
You're saying it like it makes sense. Like, oh, this is the time. This is the time. My son has recently been diagnosed. I've got three kids, one in a makeshift stroller. This is the perfect time. It doesn't sound
you're
like
right.
it.
Right. I made it. Yeah, that's a good observation. Maybe it doesn't make as much sense as it seemed to at the time. But I think for me, what I did was I did want to leave the traditional workforce because I thought I did want to work. I did want to... I do love my kids, but I also love, you know, my little bit of time away from them. Though at the time, I'm going to tell you, I was with them a lot. It was so basically, I think the end of to answer your question, I wanted flexibility.
Okay.
I wanted some flexibility. So I needed to be able to start. I ran a program for my son, a great therapy program. I used applied behavior analysis. I had a team put together. My basement was turned into a therapy center. And he could be down there working with the therapists, doing what needed to be done. I could be home with the babies. I would work during nap time. My kids always went to bed at a reasonable time so that I could work a lot. Like, I would work till midnight. I didn't sleep. I have to admit, I think probably my secret power at the time. And I don't know, like you mentioned about the cat, I don't know that I could do it now. But at the time, like, I literally would sleep for 2 hours, get up and feed a baby, and sleep for 3 hours. And that was it. I would do 5 hours. Not uninterrupted, and that would be what I would get in a 24-hour cycle.
You know, I've heard some, like, I've heard Ryan Seacrest one time, someone was saying, like, how do you do it all? And he's like, I don't sleep more than 5 hours, like 4 or 5 hours a night. This guy, he plans and he executes everything with such intention. Like, he's actually so inspirational when you, like, hear his story, because he doesn't like to do, like, an interview with somebody without, like, researching them. Just, like, to preface this, I'm not Ryan Seacrest, because I literally just, like, came in here and I was like, how many kids do you have? And, like, what business do you do? No.
How many labels do you make?
I'm like, I don't do that. But he has, like, such intention around, because he was able to structure his sleep. Now, I don't necessarily know how to do that, but I think that it's actually potentially, like, a little hidden power.
Okay, so it is, but I don't think, I mean, like, anything's, when we talk about, like, self-care and what your needs are, not everyone can do that. Like, I've got friends who, if they don't get sleep, nobody's happy about that. Nobody's happy about that. And you, you know that with your kids too. Some of your kids need their sleep. Some of your kids, like, okay, they pull it off for a couple days.
But I've also noticed, like, my son, he's such a sleeper, and he doesn't like to get up in the morning. Like, it is the worst in the morning to try and get him up and get him going. But if a new launch comes out on the video game he likes, he's up at 5 a.m.
Right.
Like, sets an alarm. He's downstairs. He's chipper. He's made himself breakfast. He's 100%. Good to go. And I'm like, what? So if it's the right thing and you're passionate about it, apparently you wake up.
There's a very good point indeed. Yes, I have also that son who sets his alarm for the video game launches.
Oh, it's
and
crazy.
And he's like, I get up and he's been up for hours and chipper.
Yeah,
and all,
so happy. So he's motivated. Like, I've gotten all this because my son knows he's only allowed to have it for a little bit of time before school. So he would literally just, like, I just have to wake up earlier. That's the only way to fit my second career in.
Mine would actually put himself to bed earlier too.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say, I gotta go to, there's a launch tomorrow. Good night, everyone. Everyone shut up. Don't wake me up.
So you started this business in the throes of life and parenthood and all this stuff. How did it look starting it, especially, you know, you said, I didn't realize you did it with two other women.
Three, four of us all together. Yeah.
Four all together.
So in those early days, like, we started in my sister's basement. We were able to find, you know, the equipment that we thought would do the trick. So we started, and literally it was, you know, go to my sister's house after kids were in bed and then make labels till 2 a.m., go home, get up at 6 a.m., raise children, and then do the same thing over and over. It's kind of a blur. Like, it is kind of crazy when I think back. And then we were there in her dingy little basement for a couple years. Then we were kind of having some growth. And we had some early signs that we were probably going to do okay, because, you know, the mom market, moms talk about products we love. Like, it's our full-time job, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And remember, this is all pre-social media.
Mm-hmm.
But people would order our labels and see them at daycare, see them at school, or see them at camp. And the moms would be like, what is that? Where did you get that? And the other moms would be like, you need these.
I'm trying to even remember
how you heard about it.
I found them. I want to say it was like a print ad or potentially another mom.
You know what? The very first kind of bit of PR we got was Canadian Living magazine.
Isn't that funny?
It was Canadian Living magazine, and they did an article, like a roundup of great products or something, and we were on there. And it was one of those were the golden ages of everybody was reading their magazines.
The magazines, yeah.
Like, in the print. It was getting delivered to their house, and they were flipping the pages. Yep. And then that was our first major hit, and we felt that.
Yeah.
And then our second one that came from the States, we had no idea what was going on, but we suddenly got all these orders, and we always had a how you heard, because, you know, you like to know how you're reaching folks. And everybody kept saying Daily Candy Kids, Daily Candy Kids. We're like, what the heck is Daily Candy Kids? So then we Googled it, and it was like one of these first like e-newsletters that landed in people's inboxes.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was called Daily Candy, and it would be tips for hip moms or tips for hip people. And then once a week they did Daily Candy Kids, and they would throw out a product that had been recommended to them. And one of our readers who read the Canadian Living article, who lived in Ottawa, apparently loved our label, so sent them to her cousin or aunt or something in California.
Yeah.
That woman submitted to Daily Canny Kids and boom, there you go.
It's so incredible. And it's funny, as you're talking and I'm like trying to remember back on like my story, I feel like I did see it from another mom using it. And I remember because I had like almost no money, I ordered this like sheet of mini labels right. for my daughter because I was like, there's like 140 in them
yeah.
and I can use these on so many different things. It is 13 years later and that yeah. label is still sitting on
I know.
Items. Like that's I'm telling what's you. So crazy.
The secret sauce for Mabel's Labels is that our product does what it says it's going to do.
Yeah.
And I've actually had somebody say to me and I was like, are you kidding me? They're like, Julie, you know what you should do? You should probably make your labels a little bit worse so that people have to buy them more often. I'm like, that is the marketing advice I would never take. Like make a bad product so people buy more of it.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
It ends up always being an extra need though because as kids get older, this is why I've come back as such a return customer of yours, is because as kids get older, what their needs are needing labeled changes.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like it's constantly changing. I cannot believe the things that my kids lose. Like the fact that they literally can lose the shoes off their feet.
No.
And yeah. when I go to the kids' school and they have this, like, if you don't think you need labels in your life, like when we talk about labels, it's actually crazy to think how much spending a small amount can save you hundreds of dollars because I literally have to go and find, if I haven't labeled them, have to go find hundreds of dollars worth of goods in the lost and found because kids are not intentional about. I think it comes back to like they didn't spend their money on it, so they're right. not seeing it as a problem that they need to find a solution to.
And I actually find that when they are labeled, like I feel like kids have more stewardship over their things.
Well, and it's just returned to them quicker, yeah, so it just becomes a better
and like
system.
You said, you know what, basically cheap insurance policy. Parents yeah. spend $27 billion on back to school items.
What?
Yep.
Oh
yep.
my god.
And like even you said, you know, when you were a young mom, you had no yeah. money, but you're like, but if I spend the money on these labels, then I'm not going to lose all the lunch containers and all the gym clothes
well,
and all
it.
The shoes and all the winter boots. And you know, in Canada, all the you need the indoor shoes, you need the gym shoes, you need the winter boots, you need the rain boots, you need the
I know. It's right? crazy.
Yeah.
So you literally built this whole business out of, you know, a need for sure. But it's also what I find so fascinating about you is how relevant it's stayed with these core products. And also at the same time, it's been, you know, you said like 16, 17 years mm-hmm. and the canvas of selling online and everything has changed so, so much.
So true.
What have you seen and learned? Because I feel like a lot of people who are stepping into the space now would probably really, not even the space of like making labels, but just like any product on the market that they're like, I want to start something. I have a problem. I'm bringing this product out. What does it look like now, would you say, for somebody coming into this space that they're looking to sell something, but not really sure? Like you're tried and true 17 years
yeah,
worth of stuff here.
You're 100% right. Like I'm telling you, when we started, I mean, we were an e-commerce business. People mm-hmm. could only buy us online. So they had to go to, you know, mableslabels.com, you know, put in their Visa numbers, plug in their, you know, what they wanted. And then 24 hours later, we'd ship it out. At that time, we still had the issue of people not trusting online businesses or being like, oh, what if I put my credit card in there? What
oh,
will
I
happen?
I remember those
right?
days.
Right? So we had to challenge. That was a challenge.
Well, it was because of Y2K. Let's yeah. be real. We all thought the computers were going to take
gonna
all our
happen?
Information.
Yep.
Do you remember being at like Y2K? 2K parties
yeah,
and like,
yeah,
being like
right.
what's going to happen at midnight? Everybody take your money out of the banks. Like we were insane.
Totally. And I was actually overseas like on New Year's Eve, 1999. And like all my relatives were calling me from Canada going, anything happened? I'm like, nope, still here. 12 hours ahead and still here.
It's so funny to think about how crazy we were. Like the computers were only, so if,
the computers.
If anybody's young enough that you're listening yeah. to this and don't understand what Y2K, the original computers that came out that we were all using had only an internal clock that went to the year 2000. So everyone thought the world was going to like end.
Kept people gainfully employed. All the IT
oh
guys were like
gosh.
Gold.
Yeah. I just remember being at this like massive party. But yeah.
So funny. Yeah. So that was one challenge. The other challenge for us, of course, was that there was no social media. So we relied a lot on traditional advertising, which could be expensive and we had no money. But we did rely on word of mouth, which was absolutely brilliant. But then once social media hit, we were such early adopters because we were like, hold on. This is a vehicle for yeah. word of mouth. And we're like, the moms are owning this mm-hmm. and they're going to talk about us on their Facebook pages. I mean, this is before Instagram even, but you know, in LinkedIn, their wherever, and we see now how it's exploded. I mean, look at, you know, your life and how the impact of social media has had on you.
Oh, for sure.
So for a business like ours, it just, it's been so amazingly powerful. And also what's been so cool is that we built such a strong community. You know, we have 200,000 Facebook fans. Mm-hmm. We have a really vibrant blogging community. So for us, we really understood that as a brand, that our community of moms, they don't want to buy from the nameless, faceless brands.
Yeah.
They want to buy from people who are just like them. And, you know,
it's,
I would
so
say,
true.
They want to buy from me because I was also just trying to get through the day without smelling like baby vomit.
It's so crazy that you say that, because like I said, you were somebody who, I was such an admirer of Maple's Labels, to put a face to it and then be like, wait, what? And find out who you are. And
yeah,
the fact that
it's just relatable.
Like, it's so relatable, but it's also just so empowering, because I think I was somebody who kind of shelved my life in the throes of motherhood. And I don't think that was necessarily wrong, but I felt internally that because I was a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. and because my husband at the time was going through school, and because all my friends were going through school, and all my friends were starting their careers, and I was at home and to be honest, couldn't afford to work and pay for childcare and figure that out. The Birds of Pie actually started as a little Etsy shop. I needed something. I needed something to just even like minorly support our family, but more than that, just like support me feeling like I was a person outside of it all. Yeah. And so to watch that you've kind of created this within the throes of motherhood, I find is such a bigger message, you know. And a couple weeks ago on the podcast, we talked about breaking down the words like mompreneur and how, you know, you don't call somebody like Bill Gates a dadpreneur. Mm-hmm. He's just an entrepreneur.
Right.
How have you felt about that? And the fact that like you are insanely remarkable in terms of like being a female in this space, but like this mom part of it, while so inspiring, also kind of like adds a little asterisk to what you're doing, I feel, a little bit.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny, the whole mompreneur thing and the kind of the talk and controversy, so to speak, around that.
It's so new.
Yeah. And I hear your point on that. But I guess I just feel like, I think the problem with terms like that is that it does belittle what we do, and it kind of sees us as hobbyists, mm-hmm. and not as, like, I never made a label as a hobby in my entire life, you know? I made a label to grow a company and make money and provide a product for families to make parents' lives easier and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Right? It was never like, I feel like making labels today,
right? Yeah, I know.
So I do feel like that term does give way to that sense of kind of devaluing the hard work that we do and the fact that we're business women.
Yeah, that's the best part of it is the fact that like, yes, you're not doing this just because it's like charity work or that you need mm-hmm. a hobby on the side or that you're bored.
Right.
You're doing this because you deserve an income and mm-hmm. you can be a woman in business who it kills it and goes and works a 9 to 5 or, you know, a 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. apparently.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can still do that while also being a mom. I watched this entire Netflix documentary and it talked about the breakdowns of women and men in terms of it broke down twice. It broke down from women to men in workplace and where the wage gap happens. And then it broke it down by race and stuff as well. And it's really devastating to see. But they showed that the ratio between like men and women, or like the change, the gap, it doesn't actually exist between women and men so much as it exists between fathers and mothers.
Aha.
So it's the moment they said, this is what like hit me to the core. For a man in his office, if he is in a position of having an office, I guess, they encourage them to have pictures of their family up and to show that they're a provider, they're a family man. How amazing. Okay. But for a woman, you're to take those down. You're not to be shown as having a weakness of having children or being a mother. And I was like, oh, it's so fascinating that the pay gap actually exists more so for moms.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of cool that you've somewhat taken back the entire thing and been like, I'm going to pay my own bills.
Yeah, right?
Built off the backs of motherhood.
But you know what? I gotta watch that doco, because that to me is so fascinating. Like going back to my like lawyering days, like when my friends would be going to do an interview with a law firm, I'd be like, oh my God, take your engagement ring off.
Yes.
Because if they see that you're engaged, you're gonna be like, now she's gonna get married, then she's gonna start up kids.
Yep.
And you know, how's your partner track gonna go then? Motherhood absolutely impacts our careers. 100%.
They've actually, yeah. When I was a single mom, I remember looking up the stats on mothers and stuff in the workplace. And it's funny that the wage gap actually exists for moms, but yet single moms are proven to be the most efficient workers because they can't lose. They can't lose this job. Right. They might have to sneak out sometimes to go pick up their kid from school, but they will be almost guaranteed to like make that up, and they have the most integrity. And it was such an empowering read. That Netflix documentary, for anybody listening, was actually called Explained, and it's like episode by episode stuff. So I think it's like only an hour long. Mm. But yeah, I find it so fascinating just seeing how, you know, women kind of make up the world of being entrepreneurs. And I think that it is really empowering when we say mompreneur, because there is that part of it that's like, you can be a mom. And
the thing is, like, for me, like, I just found that I started, the reason why I actually find that term fairly relatable for me is that I actually started my business as a direct result of my motherhood status.
Yes.
Right? Like, it was, okay, well, I have children. I have a child who just received a diagnosis. I want some more flexibility in my life. As a mother, I've noticed there's a gap of this product in the market. So without my being a mother, this never would have even come.
That's right? What I mean. So like, you're an entrepreneur, feels,
you know,
that built off of something that was literally the backs of motherhood. Like, it literally is such a need and stuff there. So honestly, that part of it is also cool. But I got to ask, how the heck have you balanced it?
Right. Look, I think I got it wrong a lot in the early days. Like, if I were to say, you know, lessons to be learned from me, so I left the traditional workforce and started this company so I could be with my kids more and run my son's program. So I did all of the things. Do you know that I got a full-time nanny when my fifth kid was turning one? Like, that was three kids too late.
Yes.
Like, it was ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh.
It was ridiculous. But I think in my stupid little brain, I was thinking, ugh, you know what? I'm staying home to be with my kids, or I'm doing this to be with my kids. Why would I get help with my kids?
Yeah.
And you know what? You can get help. You do need
help. You can.
Help.
And it changes. I feel like it changes the relationship with your kids, too. Back when I first, just like in terms of delegating and getting help.
Yep.
When due to my custody schedule, I have the kids every single weekend.
Right.
But I was also working a full-time job, so it's not really leaving a lot of room for like getting things done. I found that every Saturday I was spending probably 6 hours cleaning the house.
I know.
And I would just sit there and be crying, scrubbing a shower clean, going, what am I doing? I miss my kids. This is not my time well spent. And so I went from having, you know, all my time with them to having no time with them. Right. And as a single mom, I literally looked at the books and I was like, looked at the books as if I like recorded anything. That sounded so pro. It wasn't at all. I was literally
like, I went to my Excel spreadsheets to see my budget.
Just kidding. I literally just was like, I'm going to have to make this work. I'm going to have to find a way that I can get this little bit of extra money because I'm hiring a cleaner.
You have to.
And I hired a cleaner. Good. And she came in and she did, like, obviously she doesn't come and do my dishes every day. Right. She comes once every 2 weeks and she gives me back my time with my kids. Yep. So when you talk about, like, even I'm at Nick's Wear, like I go in their office quite a bit and Joanna has a nanny and I'm like, it's so amazing because you see her with, like, the nanny is there bringing her the baby. She gets the time with her baby and she's still running this company and I'm like, I look at her and I'm like, we can be both. We can do both. We can get the help. We can have people. They can be set in place. Like, I had the fortune of having like a mother who was retired out of childcare. So when I was working and needed somebody after school, like, she was there.
So fortunate.
So fortunate. Yeah. But I mean, talking about nannies or helpers, like, they are literally like, they're part of the structure of what can empower women.
For sure.
And
for sure.
And I think it's incredible.
Absolutely.
The guilt
and you know
of
what?
It has to be so gone. I don't know why it exists. But I used to be honest, like, I used to be like that too. Like, how could you spend money on like a cleaning person or a nanny when you can do those things yourself? We talk ourselves into that thinking. And then it takes like a lot of shame shedding to get out of that thinking.
And
a little
I think
bit
let's
too.
All do what we do well. Like, you know what? This is an economy. Let me make the labels. I'll let the baker bake the birthday cakes for my kids. I'll let the cleaner clean the house. Like, and then they'll buy the labels from me. 100%. And like, why don't we all just do what we're good at and support, and that's how this woman economy and support each other. But it is so fascinating what you say about the cleaning. Like, I always tell people, you know, you need a cleaner. Like, you if you're working, even if you're not, if you have little kids, you get a cleaner because if you are married, it will be a marriage saver.
100%.
And we will save on, you will save on marriage therapy, couples therapy, if you get a cleaner. And also, you know, my friends would be like, oh, I just can't afford it. I'm like, well, then you need to be feeding them more Kraft dinner. Like, literally.
Make it work.
You have to, like, have a little look at your budget, pull out that Excel spreadsheet, and trim elsewhere, but pay for a cleaner.
I can't say enough good things about it because it's literally changed my life. It really, really has. And it wasn't a good house cleaner. I didn't like it.
No, that's right.
Made me bitter and resentful towards my family.
There's enough to do just to keep things your head above water. Like, there's the dishes. There's the dish stack in the dishwasher. There's the clothes. There's the, like, even if you get a cleaner who will throw in like the sheets and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, I highly advise it. And it's funny what you say about like this. Some of this, like the rearing of the children, I like. The cleaning of the house, I'm like, why is that connected to rearing children? They're two totally different skill sets. What is like being a good mom have anything to do with how I cook meals? Like,
oh, it's so right. True.
Why are those intertwined? That's
I've
like being
never
a,
thought about
right.
That.
Like, why am it's like being a lawyer and then also being really good at delivering newspapers. Like, they're two different skill sets. But these somehow get clumped together.
Oh my God.
But, you know, it's funny because I mean, I think the work that women do and how absolutely exhausting it is and carrying the load, that load. I remember telling the person I was always afraid to tell I was pregnant was my grandmother.
Really?
Yeah. She was one of 21 kids.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And she had nine of her own, lost one, raised eight of them, had her last child at 47, thought she was menopausal. That was a big shock to her. Oh my God. That's why I have a young like uncle that my friend married.
No. It's like that show I didn't know I was pregnant, but it's grandma edition.
Yeah, but it was grandma edition. So I remember telling grandma, like having to go in and tell her I was pregnant with number six, and she'd grab my arm and she'd be like, but Julie, you girls don't have to do this anymore. Because she knew, like, she loved raising her children, but she also knew how at times it could be so mind numbing and so unstimulating. And, you know, in those days too, I mean, she was washing with the, you know, she didn't have a laundry machine.
We put them up as decorations.
Decorations
in our
when people come and do our laundry for us. That's right. So, you know, that was, so I knew why she thought, but I was like, grandma, remember, I'm not in my house dress all day. I have my driver, like she got her driver's license when she was 65.
Oh,
and she said it was the most freeing thing she ever did. She could get in her car and just drive, like get out of the house. Right. So I think, you know, the weight of motherhood, like it's one that's been carried generation through generation. And now you're right. We got to shed the guilt because we don't have to do it that way anymore.
Yeah. Like you said, it took you till five kids before you had a nanny.
Right.
Like that's
there's no excuse for that.
That's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids. Yeah.
And so now your kids, they age. They're all school age.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Some off in university.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to know, how's your autistic son doing now?
Okay. So it's pretty wild to think because, I often say, like, we started Mabel's Labels and now we've grown. You've just had the tour of the facility. It's a 14,000 square foot facility.
It's wild.
We've got our production. You know, like you said, this is a high tech company when you saw the equipment doing the.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. My husband's in tech. But it's a publishing company. So everyone always assumes, like, oh, you're just like online, like editor stuff. I'm like, oh, it's 100% a tech company.
Yeah.
But so I always find it fascinating now when I see different companies and you realize they're not necessarily a product as much as they are a technology.
Exactly.
And so when I walked through this space, I was like, oh, you're a tech company.
Exactly.
With a really great product.
You know, everybody's like, okay, you make labels. Like, yeah, but we're a tech company. That's e-commerce. Like, it was a really great observation that you made. Okay, what was I going to? Okay, so then we moved into this facility probably about 10 years ago. We have 40 full-time employees as well as to 60 in the summer, 70 in the summer. So while Mabel's has grown and flourished, my son has as well.
Oh.
So he is going to his second year of university.
Amazing.
He's got his full driver's license. He's got a great group of friends. He plays hockey. He's got a black belt in Taekwondo. He's a wonderful big brother. He's done amazing things. And
that's incredible.
I often say that on my deathbed, he'll be my life's greatest achievement and that the other five are okay too.
Okay, I got to ask before we go any further. Okay. Who the heck is Mabel?
Oh, it's not so exciting.
That's okay, but
I'm just curious. It was a branding thing. We wanted a character. Like, we wanted, like, our Mabel logo to be, like, this, like, fun and vibrant and charismatic character that was almost personified. And Mabel, well, it rhymed with the label. So we wanted somebody to remember it.
I like it.
It worked.
She has a cute little face. Do you still have that little face that goes with her too?
Oh, we sure do.
She's so cute.
She's adorbs.
She's like my seventh. She's your seventh child.
She's more like my fourth.
Yeah, if you go by the timeline.
Yeah, exactly. She's more like a twin with my daughter Spencer.
Yeah, none of yours are multiples either.
I had 60 sections, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, not cool.
That's fun times.
Fun times, good times.
So I was telling you earlier, I was listening to this podcast in the car ride. It was a crime podcast. Those are my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Even if I'm not even in that realm at all, I love listening to crime podcasts. They're like my favorite thing. And I'm listening to Crime Junkies, and they were telling this story, and it was a police officer and his daughter goes missing and all this stuff. And I guess because during the process of her going missing, the law at the time was that you couldn't obtain cell records very quickly.
Okay.
So after her death, he became an activist and ended up changing a law. It's called like Kelsey's Law or something like that. And it's around police officers being able to obtain records very, very quickly after somebody going missing. I promise this will loop back. But I was thinking about you because I thought you have a daughter and a son who both have stories that have caused you as an individual and as a businesswoman to become a little bit of an activist.
Right.
So autism being a big one, that one, I find it so fascinating because, you know, you're talking about this so long ago, but I feel like we didn't even start talking about autism until the last like 10 years.
Right.
Which is so fascinating. So how has that really changed you for that? Like, let's talk about that. And then we're going to break down to your next child as well.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously in the early days when Mac was just diagnosed at the age of 3 and I started the programming, I think what does happen, as you said, like when you have an experience, it really does just put you into gear of having to, okay, what now? Like, what now? What can I do for my son? And a lot of this also had to do with advocacy around government and funding. And like, you know, I've been on the steps, met with MPs, done all those things. And it's because you absolutely have to. And it actually makes me pretty sad because I know like a lot of parents of kids with autism get very little sleep. They're exhausted. Yeah. Their kids, you know, some of these kids are pretty high needs and have sleep issues or disorders anyway.
Yep.
They're sensory, so food is a thing. Like these parents are working really hard, and then they also have to be working really hard in the advocacy realm. It's tough.
It's tough. And it's not tough everybody stuff. Has the capacity for it. No. But I think it's so fascinating because I think when we look at activists, we're very like, we're just like, oh, that's so cool. I wish I could be an activist. But sometimes it does take that heart to it. Like I feel like a lot of what I do and things I speak on in terms of like body or, you know, coming through divorce or single motherhood, I wouldn't be talking about these things had it not been for the experience of coming through them. Whether it's
a real life experience.
Yeah, you need it because you need the heart behind like why it means so much to you. And now it's kind of opened my eyes to understand like some people are incredible activists because something happened. Like, you know, I love that saying where not everything happens for a reason, but you can do something good out of everything.
Right.
And it's so true because like crappy things happen or the world is still so broken and, you know, it's not very inclusive yet. And we're still working towards diversity and inclusivity and we're working towards like more awareness for these things. You know, we walk around with so much privilege and sometimes it's like having to stand up and be like, there's actually more to it. There's actually our eyes need to be opened. So hearing you talk about that and, you know, even in the autism world, I didn't even realize how far you had gone in terms of like advocating for that. But you have to, because if you don't do that, other people don't become aware of it. Right.
And then also like the personal advocacy for your own child. Like I would have to be in that school. I had so many. I remember that first case conference I went in. I had a plan. I had a booklet. I had all the things
this
I wanted.
Where your lawyer came
and
out.
Then, honestly. And I do. It does make me concerned for kids whose parents might not have those skills or maybe the education or maybe English as a second language or something. And I just think these, like, we need to take care of these kids because it's tougher for these parents.
It is.
And it's a hard system to navigate. All the different funding, how you get on wait lists for the funding, and honestly, often you get a diagnosis and the doctor or the pediatrician is like, okay, well, good luck with that. Don't hit yourself at the door on the way out, right?
Yeah.
And then what do you do? Where do you go from there, right? So I think, you know, there are some great resources, but being able to navigate the system can be tricky business.
It's so incredible to hear you speak on it. And I can't believe I'm going to say that you're also, there's another one. There's another kid. You have another incredible story out of one of your children that's caused you to be an activist yet again.
Right.
Do you want to share about Posey?
Yeah. So Posey's my 18-year-old daughter, and she came out as bisexual last year on coming out day. So
on that's a day? It's a coming out day?
Yeah, it was coming out day. Yeah. So, I mean, she'd come out to us before, but then she's okay. Like, I'm ready to come out publicly. So that was good. She just made sure she told her grandparents that they knew and told all the people who were kind of important so that they didn't hear about it on social or whatever. And, you know, I'm really proud of her. And I think, I mean, it's just really such not a big deal to me. So it's hard to even think of this as something almost worthy of conversation. But it is so important because we see kids that are still struggling. I see it. I've got kids whose parents would absolutely not accept it. Mm-hmm. I have kids turn up at my house and I'm like, you always, this is always a safe place for you. I have them turn up and like just sleep over and get a meal and whatever because their parents aren't coping. So the parents out there, you like, I just always say like, I'd so much rather have a gay kid than a dead kid. And when you look at the suicide rates of kids in this community, it is still shocking and ridiculous. So come on, parents, we got to do a better job of this.
It's incredible. You know, I think you're right. You and I sit here and we're like, how is this a conversation?
Right.
How is this a conversation? And one of my friends came out a few years back and he lost his friends. He lost his job. He lost his family.
Right.
Everybody, not all of his family, but his backs were turned on him.
Right.
And he was left to the only community that would really welcome him was the LGBTQ community. Yeah. And his whole life shifted during that time. And then I remember this past year when it was Pride Month, you know, my daughter had been talking a lot about, you know, different things they were learning at school and Pride and stuff like that. And I just decided to do some of my own research. And I read some of those stats. I read the suicide rates for these kids. And I was like, this is not a nothing issue. And it really doesn't, like, what your opinion is on it really doesn't come into play anymore when kids are dying.
That's right.
They're literally dying. And you know, there's devastating stories, you know, when kids go missing, it's like on the news. And, you know, when something happens to a child, it is so devastating to the world. And yet there's kids literally dying in front of us just because their parents turn their backs on them. I mean, it's incredible the power that parents have. And it's also terrifying because you're like, oh gosh, I hope I don't get this wrong. But I've heard countless stories of women, especially in the eating disorder community, where they're like, my mom just said this to me and something switched. And I was like, oh, the power of it.
Yes.
The power of our words and the power of our love is so profound. But when I shared on social media the fact that I once wasn't an ally, and because when I was in my early 20s, you know, I was very integrated into a conservative community, which I mean, I wasn't raised with that opinion, but I definitely had influence into my 20s and stuff of just, you know, especially like in the religious community, that wasn't maybe what I am now. Like it isn't what I am now, for sure. I'm trying to say this like so delicately, but basically told that it was like it's just this whole like hate the sin, love the sinner. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's the thing. We can love on these people, but what they're doing is wrong, and that's just that, and that's how you are. And then as I got to be an adult, and I've talked about this on past episodes about how I had to start forming my own opinions, and that was one that was like nagging inside of me. It's like, you've been wrong. You've straight up been wrong, and this is gonna suck to say, but you're going to say you're wrong. And so I came out basically with a, you know what, in the past, I didn't really agree with this life. I didn't really agree with that. I didn't think it was choice. I didn't think all these things. And I was I was slaughtered twice in that post. One was for saying that I ever wasn't a supporter. And two was for the fact that I was a supporter. And
what?
So I was like, isn't this so funny? I'm so confused.
Like,
So basically like either people were like, no, it's a sin. You can't be saying this. And then the other people were like, how could you ever have been against it?
Then nobody was like loving the fact that you admitted it.
And there was obviously there a lot of people were like, you know what? There was obviously the third party where it was like, everyone was like, thank you for saying this. And like, I've been through this too. And it's really, really hard. But the biggest thing for me was the fact that like, you can change. Like people can change. And sometimes when I think and what where my heart was at when I was sharing it was, I'm going to say that I was once this and that I'm now that, or that I believed this and now I don't anymore, is right. because I want people to remember that change can happen.
That's right.
That your fight is not for nothing, and that the words that you say to each other aren't for nothing. The conversations are not for nothing.
Right. Activism Somebody changed your happened. Mind.
Somebody changed
Somebody
it.
Somebody said something.
And you know yep, what? You were it's listening. So easy. You know, you talk about homosexuality, you talk about the LGBTQ community, and it sounds so objectified, it sounds so outside of what we're talking about, and then I look at your daughter's face and I'm like, she's a human.
Yeah.
Like, she's a person, and yeah. she's beautiful yeah. and is so deserving. Like,
she's
I couldn't look at her in the face and be like,
no.
I'll love you but I'll hate everything you're doing. No, yeah. no, it literally has nothing to do with me, and I actually fully support what you're doing. Yeah. and I think that, like, if anything, I think if religious or not, if God exists for you, and if you have faith, I just believe in a God of love, and I believe that God has bigger fish to fry than, like, people loving other people.
My biggest Christian friends are not homophobic.
No.
Not at all. So, and I do, and I feel sorry for my Christian friends who have other Christians saying, who are homophobic, and giving them a bad name, you know?
Yeah, it's
like
hard.
It's really hard when a community gets divided like that. And for me, like, it always was just with my kids. I just always wanted to have a home that was inclusive and open,
yeah.
so that they knew it was always a safe place to come out in.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the start, my my eldest son, who's 19, his godparents are actually my cousin Steven and his husband David.
Okay.
And that was even back then.
So that was back then.
So right
wow.
back from the start, I'm like, I'm dragging them into the Catholic Church, and they are going to be the godparents of, because we were raised Catholic. So it was great. And then we've always gone to Pride, because it's so much fun. B, I wanted my kids to see, like, this is worth celebrating. And, like, let's think about the history here. How did Pride start? You know, the riots, what it turned into, and how hard these advocates have been working and saving lives along the way.
It's so true. And, you know, there is so much more work to be done. But it's also, we're in this time. And I was reading this post the other day by Sean King, and he was talking about, we're in the middle of history. Like,
yeah.
people, you never know, you don't notice your history when you're in the history. And he was talking about something totally different. But it just made me remember, like, you know, I was in the store the other day, and I saw that they had all different size mannequins, not only for adults, but for kids. And I was like, you know, we saw Pride products being all over everybody this year.
Yeah.
I saw, even my husband sent me this hilarious picture of, like, somebody who didn't have a Pride flag for their business front, so they put up, like, a twister, like the twister board. And I was like, everyone's so on board that they're like, anything I can do to show my support. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're fighting hate with love, and we're in the middle of history, and it's so incredible. But I mean, it kind of brings it all home when you get to understand and see the firsthand experiences of your own child.
For sure.
So a couple things. One, I'd love for you to share the whole experience of, like, when she came out, what you think you did right mm-hmm. and wrong there.
Right.
And where do you think we have work to do kind of as a society
right.
in terms of supporting that community?
So I think for me, Posey just said, you know, I just thought I should let you know I'm bi. And I was like, oh, okay. I was actually a little bit surprised, because I don't know why. I was a little bit like, oh, I had no idea. Because I always think, like, I know my kids. And
yeah.
I, you know, like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, I would have thought maybe that one. But yeah. I didn't think it was you, you know, like, there's.
I think, no, like, I'm that all the time.
I know. I'm like,
which one of you?
I think you think you've got them figured out. And then they're full of surprises. And I was like, okay, that's great. And she's like, I'm going to tell Daddy-O. And I was like, yeah, good, good. So a day later or something, she told Daddy-O. And he was like, oh, okay. And I think he said something like, how do you know? And she's like, well, because I know, because I have a crush on a girl or something. And he's like, okay. And then he actually had to hop in the car and go somewhere. But he quickly called her and said, hey, I just wanted to make sure you know. No, I was kind of like on my way out the door when he told me, but you know I'm great. Like, you know, yeah. I don't care. And, you know, I hope yeah. I didn't do anything that would make you think otherwise. She was like, not at all, Dad. And
yeah.
he was like, okay, great. And I think, you know, and I think what parents can do and also then she had to come out to all her siblings, which was no big deal. They were
yeah.
like, the 10-year-old's like, okay, they
Whatever.
Love Hannah. She's got this girlfriend, Hannah, who's been around for ages, and Hannah's over all the time, and they love Hannah, and oh, yay, Hannah's coming over. Hannah's just like, but we did do, there are some funny things, honest to God. Like, we have had some laughs about it too, because when she came out, then Daddy-O was like, so now I can't let boys or girls into your bedroom.
Oh my gosh. That's the things you don't think of. Right. Immediately you're like, okay, first of all, don't have to worry about dicks.
Well, that's fantastic. What she's like. I was just like, well, at least if Hannah's sleeping over, you know, I'm not getting knocked up. Yes. We're like, oh man, it's so fun. So, you know, we can have some fun with it.
Gotta.
Too, right?
You have to.
Don't take ourselves too seriously. But I think what we, Daddy-O and I did right, and making it, and I just hope parents are taking this on, is that we try not to buy into the heteronormativity thing. Like, we never said to Posey, oh, what little boy do you have a crush on?
Right.
Ooh. Or what, we didn't even sort of assume gendery things. Like, so it'd be like, do you have a crush on anyone? Do you have any boys or girls that you have a crush on?
Okay. Yeah. So it was very, from you know, the start. It's funny you said that, because my neighbor was saying this the other day. She's like, every single time my daughter's playing with a little boy, they always make a comment
I hate that.
Do they think
they'll get married one day? Oh, is that your little boyfriend? I hate when people do that to kids.
And I was like, it's so hard, because I remember I've talked about this before, like how hard it's been as an adult not being allowed to have like male friends, because it automatically got like lumped into something else. I'm like, it sucks. Like, if I didn't have like relatives who were males that were like good friends, I would feel very isolated from this like entirely other gender who has like so much to teach us too. Right. But yeah, it's so funny.
That drives me crazy, because it drives me crazy with the that sort of partnering situation, like partnering. It's like, because what ends up happening is that then they start feeling the tension that other people are projecting onto them, and it hurts their friendship.
I think it's what the kids these days call shipping off. My children said that. They're like, oh, they're shipping them together. Oh, when they want someone to be a couple, they ship them.
I ship them. So it'd be like, if they shipped us, they'd be like, Bird Mabel. Yeah. That would be that'd be a ship.
Bird Mabel. Bird Mabel.
Pamabel. So there'd be some sort of, the shipping.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then there's so the wheel. I speak fluent teenager. Fluent.
Well, I would hope with how many you have, I'm still getting there.
I can
there.
Even catch the whoa.
Oh my God. I wish I had that on film. Oh my goodness. So she came out to you guys. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was a pretty easy transition for you guys.
It really was.
But after seeing her be a part of that community now, and now being an advocate and stuff for it, what have you seen that there's still some major gaps in? Like, where do you think I think especially because when you're speaking into people now, it's not necessarily even like to other parents, like your children might be gay, this is how you can be supportive, but more like, hey, you might be someone that meets my daughter one day, and this is how I'd like you to treat them.
I think a lot of parents now and you know, even not that long ago, they may not have had a problem with their child being gay or coming out of the closet or being trans, but they had a problem with how they were going to be treated outside there in the world. And I think as a parent, these are the things we worry about. Like, I don't care that my son's gay, but I don't want him getting beat up. Right. I don't want him getting gay bashed. I don't want him being discriminated against. Yes. I want him to be able to have children. Like, I think those sorts of things, like, even if they were okay with it, they were afraid about how the world was going to respond. Right. And I think there is that to a certain degree. I feel like my 18-year-old now is getting better positioned into a world that's more able to accept. Mm-hmm. And that makes me really happy. And it makes me really proud of the gains we're making. But it is still, I mean, I know just in... we've had real issues here in Hamilton, where Mabel's Label's headquarters is. Pride Month turned into a bit of a gong show. Some politicians did some missteps and really upset the community. And there's still a lot of work to be being done, and the community is working their butts off getting it done. So, there's no sitting and resting just yet.
No. Of course. And I've said this before, every single time you think that work has been done, it's you just realize it's been done within the audience that you've had.
Right.
And it's always that you have to step outside of that and be like, oh, wait, I notice this a lot whenever I post something and it automates to Facebook. And then Facebook comments are like a whole other beast. It's like an entirely different personality. And so like, I have my nice little Instagram world where everyone's like really supportive and like it feels really nice. And then you go onto Facebook and you see all of these like hate comments come in, and you're like, oh, wow. Like, there is actually so much more work to be done in terms of advocacy for, you know, a woman's body. And, you know, in terms of like, when I did that Pride post, like how many comments I had to like go through and be like, wow, I honestly am just shocked. I feel like I've been living in a bubble. I've been living in a happy bubble. Yeah. where everyone is just like loving and happy and supportive of each other. And the fact is, that's not the world still. Like, right. we're not there. And I say still not, but because I just have this like stupid belief that at some point we actually are going to really make massive strides, more than we have. Like, I think the last 10 years have probably been the biggest strides and the biggest resistance. It's like the pendulum right. is swinging, and there's just like, it's both ends. It feels like across everywhere there is like such a swing in both ways. Like, I've never seen so much diversity in the world and yet so much racism at the same
right.
time.
Right.
So it's kind of like we're balancing
and
both.
It's not helping some of the politicians who are getting elected. And I feel like it is a step backwards, because it's almost giving people permission mm-hmm. to be able to think and say things that I had hoped I wouldn't hear again.
Yeah. Oh, 100% right? with you. It's very just eye-opening. And I think that yep. it's why it's really important to hear these stories and hear these messages as somebody who is, you know, firsthand, like experiencing it and seeing it for your own child. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the rest of the world, we're supporters to that. Like, we have to be humans to each other, like kind ones.
That's right.
And I always say that to people, even if you're listening to a story and it's not your experience or something that you connect to, it's somebody else's experience. And that's what makes the difference, is when you're willing to listen to something that has nothing to do with you. Yeah. And how you can be willing to kind of step up and listen and be aware and, you know, willing to have conversations about it, willing to maybe open your mind a little bit about right. it, right? That's yeah. kind of what changes for me. But
I think it was something you said a little while ago that was really meaningful. And, you know, because you see people debating on Facebook, and you see them debating on social, and you always think, oh, you're not going to change that person's mind. But you know what? Maybe you just got to keep at it, because, you know, you think where you were, you know, that you love the sin or not the sin, then you're like, it is no sin.
No.
You change your mind. You're like, it is no sin. Mind. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know what? And I've had so many key people along the ways who have been so supportive of me asking questions. And I think that that's kind of been key, is don't just take what everybody else tells you as your truth.
Right.
And just be willing to ask questions. If you have a prodding inside of you that's like, you know what, I don't think this is what I believe, even though, you know, my parents didn't teach it to me, but I definitely was like in relationships and with friends that did really believe that. And I needed to step outside of even my own little comforts to ask those questions and stop. Like, my therapist called me a sponge. I was a sponge. I needed to stop.
Right.
I needed to stop just taking on opinions because of that being somebody else's opinion, and understanding that like you can still lovingly have debates with each other, yeah. right? Like you can still have those conversations, you can still disagree. But I think that at the core, if I'm wrong, I'd rather be wrong and having chose love.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's just where I've always gone with it. Is like, if I'm going to be wrong, that's the thing I'm going to be wrong about, is right. that I chose love. And I don't think I'm going to be. Like, no. I just don't think I am. And
how
so,
can that be wrong?
How can it be? No. It's amazing. But anyways, I'm honestly so glad we had this conversation. But I also want to know, like, what is next for you? Because like, Mabel's label's 17 years old, like you're a little baby.
Yeah.
What is next?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Right now, I'm just kind of loving where I'm at. I'm launching my kids. I'm still here at Mabel full time. I do a lot of PR stuff, a lot of parenting stuff, a lot of like stuff like this, which
yeah,
I
you're
love.
On like the, you're on TV a lot.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I'm just kind of doing the do and not taking myself too seriously along the way and just enjoying things.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they would like to, if they want to connect with you. You're such a light, and honestly, you're so hilarious. But if people want to connect with you, where's the best place to find you?
Okay. Well, of course, you can find my stuff at mabelslabels.com, you know, my about me's and stuff. But of course, you know, Instagram is at Cole, Cole.Julie. So my name in reverse. And Twitter is at Julie Cole. Facebook, find us on Mabel's Labels. I'm easy to find. Find me. Connect with me.
Yeah, I'd love that. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to sitting down. We're going to do a little Facebook Live on your channel now.
We sure are.
I'm so excited. Yay. Okay. Thanks, everyone. And hopefully you found some really key tips in terms of being a mom, being an entrepreneur, being an ally, being an advocate, being all of these things, because you can be all of those things and all at once, and you can actually do a really great job at it. So thanks so much for tuning in, and can't wait till next week. Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories, and don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of the Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then.